This is pretty perfect for today. If you know that when we put these services together, we don't always know exactly what we're going to be presenting so that our music and our message go together the way they do, but it always works, and we trust Spirit, and we're grateful to Spirit for that. Higher Ground came out the year that I graduated from high school, and I would love to think that we have reached the higher ground. But today is about the journey that we're making, not the destination that we're planning to arrive at. I know that's not good grammar, but just hang with me there. It's not about perfection. It's about our progress, as you know. So today is about our progress. And ironically, the talk today is called Living Above the Line, but actually, this is not about living a linear life. I just want to make that clear. As a matter of fact, I came up with a phrase this week in communicating with one of my colleagues about the growth that I've witnessed among you this year. Many of you have had growth that I call round, not linear. Because for many of us, we go about our lives and then, boom, we have a crisis or we have a epiphany, and that reshapes our lives, and then we kind of move on from there. And we may revert to the old ways, or it may only stick with us for a short period of time until the next crisis or epiphany comes along. And that's what I think of as linear growth. It's waiting for life to happen so that we can respond to it. It's kind of going along in a state of complacency until we get smacked in the head. And that's the way we live our lives a lot. It's common. It's the human condition. Well, when I talk about being rounder in growth, I'm talking about something that's a little bit harder to define because it's multidimensional. It means that our growth has begun to permeate all areas of our lives. It affects the way we see the world radically differently. It means that our dreams have a different quality to them. Our interactions with other people have a different quality. There's more to us that is maybe a mystery. And rather than striving to find answers to everything, which we do, we're a little more comfortable in that waiting between realization and the culmination of it. So I am talking in some linear terms today, but I want you to keep in mind that we're talking about multidimensional living. We're talking about, do you remember that old phrase about being a Sunday Christian? That was used to describe the hypocrisy of people who would be holy on Sundays and raise hell the rest of the week. It's okay for me to say that, isn't it? Okay, because I did. And so we're not those people. Our progress, our round growth, is about living this throughout everything that we do. Even this, even that. Even the thing where you think, well, my spiritual life doesn't apply here because, well, it's this. And that might have to do with someone you're in conflict with or your work situation. No, your spiritual life goes through everything. Everything. And our job, our mission, the reason for our creation is so that we notice where we're not in alignment with that a little more quickly than we used to. So this is about raising awareness and raising awareness and raising awareness. And hopefully by now you have become comfortable with the fact that there's not like, oh, there, I made it. Because there is always going to be something in which we can grow. There's always going to be something in which our relationship with the divine becomes more complete, in which we realize more and more of our wholeness, no matter what our exterior circumstances are. That's what it's about, is awareness. And being comfortable with our own imperfections in the midst of that. if you remember, Jesus' life was not just about his teachings, it was about the example of his living. The phrase that kept coming to me as I was preparing for this talk was when Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." It was a brand new thought to the people he taught. But if we look at all of our great teachers throughout history, they had an awareness of the oneness of all things, no matter what the divine was called, no matter where they lived, no matter what the religious customs were. There was always, among our great teachers, an awareness that we are one with all things. And Jesus kept saying that. Not just the Father and I are one, but you and the Father are one. Don't look just to me, look to the Father who lives in me. And I'm using Father because that's the word in the scripture, but you know that I'm talking about the great, unknowable, unnameable God that is actually known to us, but also so much that we don't know yet. And so his life was about that all the time. Look how I'm living. Look how I stay in communication and in communion and in closeness with God. Look at that. Just keep looking at that. Looking at that, because I'm going to demonstrate that for the whole time you know me, even through my death. Even through the time that my earthly body ceases to exist, I'm going to show you what it's like to live in oneness. So let me tell you a little bit about this above and below the line. And this is in conjunction with our Wednesday night class that Kit and I are teaching this month. And I want to just reinforce that this is for everyone, despite the title of the book that we're using. It's called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. So this is about leadership in your own life. It'll come in handy if you're a leader in other ways, but this is about our personal growth, our personal mastery over our own lives. So if we're living our lives above the line, which is what they talk about in the book, then we're open, we're curious, we're committed to learning. All the time. When we're living our lives below the line, we're closed, we're defensive, we're committed to being right. So I am guessing that you have probably identified with all six of these qualities that I've just named. And of course we all do, because that's what we're about. We're about navigating through this human experience using spiritual qualities, expressing spiritual qualities. So yes, we are open and curious and committed to learning. We're questing. And then in other times of our lives, we're like, and you know what it feels like when you're below the line? When you've got to convince somebody, when you've got to defend yourself, when you've got to be right. Because there is that which is being right, like deeply knowing, which requires no defense. It requires no persuasion. It requires us to let the other just be. And then there's being right, which has this hard edge to it. So, here are the stages that we go through. Life is happening to me. Life is happening to me. That makes us a victim. That makes us weak. That makes us powerless. That makes us contracted. And then we move into a stage called I make life happen. This is life by me, where we begin to take a little ownership for what's going on in our lives. And for many of us, that journey started with recovery or therapy or doing something back in the day when we first started our spiritual journey, doing things like going to, back in the 80s, psychic fairs. Oh boy, those were so fun because you could get your aura photographed and you could get your palm read and you could get your tarot cards laid out for you. And you could be with a lot of woo-woo people. And woo-woo was fun. That was kind of a gateway for me. It's like, yeah, man, I love these psychic fairs. And crystals, man, I could wear so many crystals in a little bag around my neck. I'd be like bent over with crystals and, you know, salt in the corners of my room. All those little external rituals that were necessary for me to begin to understand what was inside here. And then the real work begins. Life through me. I cooperate with life happening. I cooperate with life happening because life is going to happen. And we can either push back against life or we can begin to live our lives knowing that life is going to happen and we are still open and receptive and willing to cooperate with life happening by seeing where we can contribute to our own spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of others. There are more defined terms about this. I invite you, even if you don't join our course on Wednesday nights, I invite you to get this book. It's very readable. It's in nice little chunks. It's easy on the eyes. And it's just got a wealth of information. We have copies here. And then the final stage, and this is one way of defining the way we talk about this, because what we're always looking for are modalities and categories, because that's our way our mind works, to be able to define the spiritual journey. So the last stage of this is life as me. Life as me. The Father and I are one. And this is going to be one of the highest levels at which we operate. And you know what that feels like when it's life as me. You know how it feels. It's got a quiet power to it. It's got all those paradoxes of being humble and powerful at the same time, of being surrendered to life and being proactive about what we do in it. It's about letting go and it's about taking on. So this is a higher level. This is a much more refined, sophisticated level of our spiritual growth. And most of the time, we are on a continuum moving through all four of these. But again, I'm trying to define something in three-dimensional terms that is multidimensional. Because we learned from our master teachers that life is multidimensional. So life above the line is about us paying attention to everything. Paying attention to everything. Do you remember that if we look at the master teacher Jesus, when somebody confronted him, usually his response was to ask them a question that put the responsibility for the answer back on them. That's about as undefensive as you can get. That is a way of interacting with life and people in a way that allows them an opportunity to rise to a greater understanding. What a gift we can give people if we do that. What a gift. And Jesus in particular was not attached to their answer. If he saw that they got it, he would just bless them on their way. If he saw that they didn't get it, he would bless them on their way. And so this is the opportunity that we have to kind of soften our lives a little bit, even as we stand a little taller in it. Can you see how that would work? It requires us to notice every reaction that we have, to notice every time we have gone to sleep not like, you know, slumbering, but like gone to sleep to our own lives. And this doesn't mean that we're on point all the time. If you're doing that, you're trying to make your spiritual life a goal. So you're not like on point. You're just noticing. Notice. And so it might be interesting in your life to just go, how about that? I don't do that very often, but I try. I try to do that. That's interesting. To look at ourselves and say, am I living at the highest level of my integrity that I can? Am I rising to this challenge and relying upon my connection with the divine, the Christ that lives in me? Am I connecting with that in this moment? And I know a lot of times we go, no, I'm not, and I do not want to. Thank you very much. I want to be mad. I want to be hateful and petty just for a little while, and then I'll get over it. We're going to do that. Just make sure you don't cause any damage to property or people when you do that, with your words, with your actions. It requires us to look at the areas of our lives in which we're not satisfied and say, Divine Spirit, I'm open and receptive to this being revealed to me. Not going out and reading the next book, even though I've just talked about reading a book, sorry, but not going out looking for an answer. Not calling up your friends. Although, if you've got a friend who is walking the spiritual path with you, that is sometimes the best time to reach out and say, I am not living my best spiritual life right now. Be with me as I move through that. That's not usually how it sounds. It usually sounds like I am so mad. And your friend will say, okay, I hear you. I understand you. And how shall we move through this? Because this is a hard journey to do if we try to do it all by ourselves. Not only do we need the presence of God and an awareness of that, but we also need each other. That's the last part of this talk. Not only are we one with the divine, like the unseeable God, we're one with everything. We are one with everything. We are one with the natural world. We are one with each other. We are all parts, if you will, of one body. You've heard about the butterfly effect, in which a butterfly flaps its wings here and it causes a change in the weather elsewhere. Don't know that that's ever been scientifically proven, but I do know that when one part of the body is aching, we feel a part of that ache. Do you know, I've been examining this a lot in some very quiet and prayerful moments. This last year, and I talked about this some on Easter last Sunday, but in this last year, we've had a lot of losses. And I think one of the things that we haven't maybe done sufficiently is to notice how the deaths of millions of people has affected us. That's what we have to do. Have we grieved for the part of the body that has left this planet? Have we grieved what we've given up? Have we begun to see who we are now? Have we asked ourselves the question, how am I different compared to a year ago? How have I evolved? But that also means, how have we evolved? How have we moved on? Are we embracing a new vision for our lives? Because we've had a little reset here for this last year. Are we embracing a new vision for ourselves and for humanity? are we clinging so hard to the past that we've become contracted and living below the line? Are we doing that? Because when we find ourselves clinging, and that feels uncomfortable to cling. It feels secure because we're used to it, but it's really not. When we're clinging, we are not allowing life to flow through us. We are not allowing the next part of evolution to be life as me. And so it's important for us to see what it is that we're doing right now. Where do we stand today? I know that a lot of you have been involved in the discussion in the last couple of weeks about our pool closing. And one of the things that has stayed with me throughout this whole process of looking at the aquifer and our well and the water that we use and everything, the thing that has stayed with me all the time is that through this platform and through the floor underneath it and through the ground underneath that and all the way down, we are standing upon the living waters that flow beneath us. And we are one with that. That image has stayed with me and stayed with me deep in the dark, in the depths, is living water right now. Right now, those of you in the room, get your feet on the floor so you can just connect with that. Because water is symbolic to us in so many ways throughout time. Water as a sense of renewal, water as a sense of providing life to us. And so I even when I'm not here on this property, even if you have never, if you're watching this broadcast and you've never been here, be with us. Know that beneath us is water running, running. It provides for us and we protect it because we're one with it. Now, I thought about this morning. I want to own my own hypocrisy here. If I truly embraced everything about we are one with all life, I'd probably be a vegan. And I'm not. Because I don't get along with soy very well. That's the truth. But in so many ways, we can remember our connection not only to this natural world, Mother Nature, but we're connected to all human beings, all life. This morning as I came up the hill, up the driveway, I paused for a moment to allow the pedestrian roadrunner to cross my path. Don't they just make you happy? Just those funny, wonderful birds. And yesterday, I had some appliances delivered, and after the delivery people left, they had started the washer and dryer to make sure they were running, and I went in to see how that was going. And on my washing machine, a ladybug had taken a ride into my house. She walked around on the washing machine for a little while, and then she took off. And for that moment, I was filled with joy for that living creation. For that tiny, beautiful little bug that is auspicious, being in my home. Now, you can say that I'm still woo-woo, that I attach meaning to those kind of things. It's okay, bring it on, I'm fine. But I want you to notice also, I very intentionally this morning wore a phoenix. Because we are being renewed all the time, all the time, all the time. Just like our cells shed so that new cells can come to the surface on our bodies, We are being renewed in here all the time. And it's up to us whether we're going to cooperate with that, co-create in that, be with God in that, and live above that line, to be open and curious, to be committed to learning. And that's not just learning about the exterior things in the world. It's about learning about the presence of God all the time, everywhere. Even this place where you think it isn't, it is there. If you see something that disturbs you out there in the world, pray for it. And that's not for it, it's for you. But if you can pour your balm of healing power upon any situation, do so. Do it. Notice how pouring out healing, pouring out blessing, pouring out generosity, pouring out goodness and abundance, pouring out standing in your own integrity, notice how doing that shifts the world around you. And beloved, it takes all of us as one to reach that higher ground. It takes us all. So I'll do it if you will. I am doing it, and you are. We're doing it together. So come be with us if you want to learn a little bit more about this, if you're ready for that next step. I'd like to share with you a reading today from Science of Mind magazine about the joy of life that comes with this. And so if you'd like to move into a space of meditation while I read this, please do so. I hope these words will inspire you, comfort and bless you for April 11th. 2021. It's about joyful living. Ernest Holmes said, "You are as young as your faith, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, as old as your despair." Ernest Holmes said, "Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up interest wrinkles the soul. How you choose to see your life and the world around you is everything. Some young people look old, and some old people look young. The story is told in your face and the way you carry yourself. As bodies of energy, we reveal everything, and not just in the words we speak. Our enthusiasm for life is like a beacon of light that attracts like a moth to a flame. We have within our power to create that light, but we cannot do it by dwelling on worry, doubt, fear, self-judgment, and despair. These are the ways of being that bend the back and bow the head. No matter how old you are, there is in every heart that childlike delight, that love of wonder and that joy of experiencing something brand new and fresh. While it's been said a million times, it bears repeating, the thoughts you think are what determines the world you live in. If you don't like the world you live in, now is a good time to change. Life is so joyous, so beautiful, so profoundly magnificent in its complexity and opportunity. You did not come into your physical body for pain and suffering. You came for love and beauty and divine expression. Now is the time of your great becoming, to live the rapturous journey of your magnificent, joy-filled life. And the affirmation is, I declare myself a powerful, loving light, overjoyed at my new becoming. And so, beloved, dwell for a moment in this joy, will you? Just be still and quiet. Know that the spiritual journey, that decision about where you live above or below that line, is not a task to be done. It is a joyful unfolding. It allows us to live for briefer periods of time in our fear, in our despair, in our worry. It allows us to live more in being. And so just for this period of meditation, no matter what else is going on in your life, whatever it is that might be occupying the activity of your mind, in this moment, can you just act as if joy is all there is? Can you just for a moment dwell in the being and less in the doing? And know that where you are right now is just fine. Turning our attention through prayer, through these quiet moments, through those daily reminders that God is with us, gives us some relief, gives us the practice to begin to dwell there more and more and more often. And know that if you grieve, if there is sorrow, let yourself feel it deeply and know that on the other side is a joy that is equally as rich. And so, great spirit within and without, transcendent and immanent, here we are, one with you. Here we are, reborn this day. We are willing to be reborn over and over and over, to rise from the ashes of the mistakes that we've made, the things that we've held against ourselves and against others, to rise from the ashes of our unknowing into the full light of knowing. Yes, Spirit, we are willing. Yes, Spirit, I am willing. And now I open my eyes and I extend my hands on behalf of everyone in your life, on behalf of this spiritual community, to remind you that you are not alone in this physical world, just as you are not alone in the spiritual realm. That you have companions and other questers that will stand with you no matter what. Near or far, we're right here, these hands. Hands around you, hands of strangers, hands of friends, hands of loved ones, the symbols of our oneness. So, beloved, a good start for today is to bless everything around you. Bless everything that you see. Bless every sip of water that you take, every bite of food that you take, every interaction that you have. Bless it and bless it and bless it. And take strength from our oneness. Take inspiration from that. Take God from that. Because all is well. All is well. And we are one. And so it is. And so it is. Amen.